This is the official podcast for casual anime fanatics. On today's episode, we're discussing the season 1 finale of Solo Leveling. This is episode 12, titled Arise. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm your host Jordo, and here with me as always is my co-host and kin, the baby brother Brennan. And Brennan, you've lost your voice. And was it from being sick from when you were sick last week, or...
Yeah.
You going to some sporting events and yelling? What's going on?
I got sick last weekend, and you know, I was mostly sick over the weekend. Probably should have taken Monday off work, but just couldn't, you know, for just too busy. And then I was pretty much good by Tuesday-ish, but I just ended up having to talk too much for different reasons. And then by Wednesday, my shit was gone. And then really today's the first day that I've been able to like, actually talk, but I still might go out sometimes. But for a couple days there, I would just try to start talking and nothing would come out. But I'm pretty much good. Sure, by tomorrow or the next day, I'll be 100%. And I'm not sick anymore, just the voice.
Just imagine if your income was based on voice acting, how detrimental this issue you have right now would be.
I mean, I would have taken it a lot more serious. Like, I was still like talking to people, you know, at the gym and shit, like, after, like, if it was my livelihood, I would have shut my trap for, like, 32, 48 hours straight, been drinking some tonics and stuff.
Shit, sometimes you don't even have 48 hours, though. Sometimes they send you, like, hey, I need this shit back in 12-hour turnaround time.
Yeah, but I'm sure they could work with you, too.
Yeah. Especially, like, can you make my character sick this episode? Because I sound like shit.
If it was, like, my first role... Recording my second recording ever, they'd probably be like, fuck this guy, we'll get somebody else. But
yeah,
if you're
take care of your shit,
yeah, if you're a John Young Bosch, they'll probably just hit you up in a few days.
Yeah, they'll probably just wait. Yeah, well, if this is your first time ever tuning in, welcome to That Anime Podcast. If you haven't been following along this whole season, just know we have episode coverage for all 11 previous episodes for Solo Leveling season 1, so go check those out. If you do end up liking what you hear, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen. These reviews are a great way for us to reach more casual anime fanatics just like you. I don't know if this episode is going to take us forever, but for the sake of it potentially taking longer than usual because it's a finale and there's some theories and shit we got to talk about, let's go ahead and just dive right in. Does that sound good for you? Are you watching anything really good that you want to talk about?
No, just the same shit that I've been saying, like, and I'll just tell you, and, like, you need to watch Frieren.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I've had multiple people ask me if I watch that, and I'm like, no, I don't watch that, but it's good, eh?
Yeah, season's complete. It's weird number. It's 27 episodes, which is kind of a weird number, but it's 27, and it's done. It's going to continue, though, but... It's probably between the Solo Leveling and that are probably the two best of, I guess, what would you call that, the winter anime?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm undecided of which I prefer, but between those two, for sure. Yeah, I just probably enjoy it a little bit, slightly more. It's maybe not as epic, but just the way they tell the story and the pacing and the setting and all that kind of stuff might just, suit me a little bit more objectively. Even objectively, I don't know. They're close. They're both really good, Solo Leveling and Frieren, for the winter. And both going to be candidates for Anime of the Year, I'm sure.
Yeah. We'll see about that. Yeah, they'll for sure both be candidates. But we got a long year to go.
Yeah, we got Demon Slayer and shit coming out, too. Some My Hero.
Mm-hmm.
They're always potential winners.
Yeah, I think I'm close to finishing Yu Yu Hakusho. I can taste it. I'm afraid to look when it's over, because then it kind of ruins how fast you think something's going to wrap up or not. So I'm just going in blind, and when it ends, it ends. But I'm pretty sure I'm close.
Yeah, I won't tell you how many episodes there are.
Yeah, just keep going. I don't even know what episode I'm on. I think I'm somewhere between 70 and 80.
Okay. Again,
it's feeling very much like a last arc, but more to come on that. I'll, of course, update all of our listeners whenever I do finish Yu Yu Hakusho, because it is a cult classic. But let's go ahead and dive in here. This was episode 12, the season 1 finale of Solo Leveling. This was a show that we've been waiting for 2 years. I mean, we really were. We were waiting for this show for a long time. Colton's been talking about this shit on the anime news segment, I mean, almost since our podcast inception.
I don't know if it's been that long. A good while. I wasn't really personally waiting on it. Like, I knew I'd watch it, the hype, but it wasn't like it wasn't like one of those things where I was like, damn, when's that Solo Leveling? It was just something like in my mind that I knew I would eventually watch. It wasn't like I was yearning, you know, since I didn't read the manhwa, and you know, there's usually
it's just been on our radar a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely been on the radar. As soon as it got announced that maybe even before it officially got the anime, just when the shit was popping off, the manhwa, it's kind of been in the news circulating on that anime podcast.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, here's the synopsis, according to Crunchyroll, for this episode. Drained from endless battle, Jinwoo sees a phantom of his past self. To overcome his own past as the weakest hunter of all mankind, he struggles to find a way to clear the job change quest. All right, as always, Brennan, overall, what'd you think of this finale for this season?
I mean, it was really good. I think it's a good finale, a worthy finale from what this season's provided us. Tied everything, not everything up nicely, but it didn't, like, you know, there's got to be open ends, like, to any story. So for what it could do and what his mission was, you know, the past two episodes, I think it settled things pretty good. Got a little bit more info. Not really, though. We have some. We were basically just got more questions on his power, like, mm-hmm. but which means information too, because there's certain things we saw which we don't know what they mean yet. But I guess it confirms a few things. But action packed episode to end it. Got to see. I guess we can start putting guesses where we think it's gonna go next season.
Yeah.
Would have liked to see.
Egress the Blood Red Knight. He ain't out for the count just yet.
Yeah. I'm just like, shit, this dude's only level 7?
Like, I know, man. That shit shocked me too. But maybe it only goes, maybe your shadow soldiers only go up to like level 10, you know, we don't know.
Yeah, because those level 1s, like, they ain't no slums either, like, they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. They got stealth and shit. But what were you going to say before I brought up Egress?
I don't even know, but yeah, just overall thoughts were it was good. Just like many of the episodes of the season, the only one I'd say sucked was the one I didn't watch, which was the recap, 7.5.
Yep, I didn't watch that shit either. I agree. I think that this was a great season finale. For a 12-episode season, you can't really do, because there's so much that they haven't even built up yet, like, they've built up with 11 episodes worth of material. Like, most season ones have 25 episodes. So really, when you look at it that way, this was a very short season.
Yeah, 12's not super uncommon, but obviously, just because I want to watch more, I'd like to see in like 24 or somewhere in the 20s, but
dude, imagine or one of the big shows, imagine it dropping a 12-episode season. You'd be like, what the F?
Yeah, it's just a different era, though. Like, we've talked about it many times, that just how people are consuming anime now, and that's why, like, Boruto ended up where it is. Like, it kind of went off the Naruto formula, and that's not what people wanted. You know, they want the good shit all the time, so that's why it's gonna, from what I hear, it's gonna be distanced from the manga going forward to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people now, we just want the good shit, like Demon Slayer. Back in the day, in the early 2000s, you know, maybe even early 2010s, like, Naruto and One Piece can still get away with it because it's an OG, but people don't really want to watch you know, 9 minutes of new shit, if that, with a bunch of filler. So, I mean, I think it's a better way to do this. And hopefully, the one thing the industry does need to maybe get better at is, like, yeah, do 12 episodes, but don't take 2 years to give us the next 12. Like, take a year max, you know? Because from what I know, the manual is already done or close to done, so there's material. So take a break, whatever you got to do, do another anime, but then get back on the shit.
I agree with you. Yeah, if you're going to do a 12-episode season, you better not take more than 12 months to drop the next little tidbit. It's not like they're doing much prep work into this shit anyways. They're busting out the animation for these things like the hour before it goes live on Crunchyroll, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're finishing production and then it goes to post-production for 6 months to make edits. Like, this shit's all coming together at the final hour every week.
Yeah, so they just, hopefully it's not too long. You know, just, you don't want it to be going to, like, I'm sure it won't, but like the One Punch Man territory. Or it's just like season one.
It's ridiculous.
Then years for season two and then season three. It's just like they're not announcing when it's coming out. They're just like announcing the studio. So it's, you got to stay away from that shit.
Yep. Well, all right, let's go ahead and dive in, go through this scene by scene. So the episode starts off with Jinwoo coping with the fact that he dropped the instant teleportation stone. And he doesn't have time to look for it. He says, the only way I can survive this is by beating them all. His stamina is at its limit. He can't use stealth anymore or murders for intent because he's got no more mana. And you have to have mana to activate those skills. And we did get a look at his stats this episode. And it's been a long time since we've seen the stats. So his level is 47. Which means since he unlocked this job change request, because he said he unlocked it when he hit 40. He's already gone up 7 levels. This dude's growing quickly. His job, I noticed it said none. And his title, which he got in episode 3, is still Wolf Assassin. So, isn't that weird that, like, his title up to this point has still just been Wolf Assassin? Like, even though he's killed several other types of beasts and creatures.
Yeah, because he could have got like
a wolf assassin.
Yeah, or like Snake Slayer or whatever else he's killed.
Or Cerberus Tamer, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of shit he could have got. Like, dude, he's way past wolf assassin shit. Yeah, let's upgrade my boy.
Some badge worthy kills.
He ain't no account
then.
Manager anymore. Let's make this guy a vice president. We get a look at his other stats. So his strength, already at 128 skill points. Next closest is agility at 107. His perception skills is in third place at 89. Vitality, not far behind at 87. And his intelligence, which is like the mage skill, 66. 128 on strength, though. So we now know these points obviously exceed 100. And we'll see how far they go, I guess. But he's been stacking strength and agility, that's for dang sure. His fatigue at this point is 87%. He's getting the shit kicked out of him, and he's saying to himself, I was always at the bottom. I know what it's like better than anyone, but I could never give up on striving for more. We get a look at his knuckles, and his knuckles are... I mean, the skin on his hand is, like, flayed. He's got no skin on his knuckles. It's just showing straight bone and muscle under there. And that's what happens when you punch straight up armor for as long as he has been. Pretty gross stuff. I don't know if I've seen an anime show like fists beat up to the extent where like the skin's peeled away. I've seen like battered and bruised stuff in Tanjiro and Deku, but never just some open sores like this.
Yeah, I don't know if I have either. I mean, I would assume I have, but, you know, off the top of my head, this is the first time. It's like a good chunk of skin missing.
It's just straight up, the skin's gone. He starts hearing voices from the people in episode 1 talking about the weakest hunter of all mankind. And he's like looking around while he's still fighting. Then Mr. Song appears, puts his hand on Jinwoo, and he's hallucinating this, I believe. And he says, Sung, that's enough. You don't need to keep forcing yourself. And then Juhi shows up And kind of mockingly, she says, "He's right, Jinwoo. You'd be better off if you stopped." And then very mockingly, the weak version of Jinwoo from episode 1 shows up and he says, "You're getting what you deserve." And he's standing behind Jinwoo, and the smile that he has on his face, it reminded me exactly of the smile that the god statue had in the Cartanon Temple.
See, I didn't get that. It was kind of like a middle smile and then like lines for like the cheeks, whereas like felt like the Cartanon Temple one was just like a big wide ass like ear to ear smile. Like his
No, you're talking, so sorry, let me rephrase. I'm not talking about the flagship smile from the god statue. I'm talking about the one where it smiles at first whenever he first notices that it was like watching, and then it gets to decide like that it's going to get to start killing people. It like smirks at first.
I don't know if I remember that. I'm just remember the one where they like bow to him for the first time.
Oh no, no, no. There was another part where he like smirked, but it definitely was creepy. This Bastion knew. He says, "Why insist on something so dangerous? You were an E rank, but look how far you've come. That should be enough, shouldn't it, Jinwoo?" Opening song plays. And from the opening song, I know last week we talked about, was this Egress the Blood Red, like, exact from the opening? And confirmed it was. He had the cape, he had the feather and the hat.
Yeah, it had me thinking that I watched that part and it was like, yeah, it was him. Maybe the red wasn't perfect, but it was pretty damn close. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, I'm trying to go back. Like, I feel like they updated it since we finally saw him to like the official. I feel like he wasn't as detailed in the opening before. Like, I don't remember the cave. I don't remember the feathered top. I'd have to go back and look, but they could gaslight us and like go back and change all the openings, because you can do that. It's like
that'd be sick if they did.
South Park,
like, we're gonna make people lose their freaking minds.
The creators of South Park did that. They like went back and redid every single subtitle ever for their show.
Oh shit! Just to mess with people.
It's because the character Tolkien. There's an episode where they said his name was Tolkien, like J.R.R. Tolkien. You know,
yeah.
But Stan, the episode is that Stan thinks his name is always Tolkien. So then, like, everybody in town's like, "You didn't know his name was Tolkien?" And then, like, if you go back to any episode, like, from the very start, it's all changed to where it says Tolkien now in the subtitles.
That's pretty genius.
I doubt Solo Leveling would definitely mess with that, people. But I feel like I hadn't looked at it in detail, but yeah, it was definitely Egress, word for word, bar for bar.
Yep, that was straight up Egress. It was a great opening, but now that we've seen it for all 12 episodes, I can confidently say I do think 2024 has, not that it wasn't a banger, we know bangers, this was a banger, but I don't think it's going to be the number one opening we hear in 2024. I think that there's still room for a legendary opening to come in.
Yeah, it's good for sure, and I think it would be good no matter what anime was the opening for. Maybe not, because it's very specific, but it's kind of one of those ones. I think sometimes you get the perfect of the best anime, like specials, like the best anime with one of the best songs, or Sim with Attack on Titan. I think this is one where the anime stands a little bit higher than the opening.
Yes.
AKA the quality of the anime is uplifting the song. And that's not saying the song is shit. Like, it's a banger of an opening for sure. But yeah, I don't think it's like on par.
Yeah, it ain't no boy. It ain't no specials. It ain't no.
I mean, it may not
the
even
one from Kinkback. It ain't no Rumbling.
It's probably not even on my top opening, like top three right now. Truth be told, no, it's not. Not a chance. Like, if I had to
it's not on mine either.
If I had to do my 2024 picks, like, it ain't making it right now. That's just because there's some bangers out.
Well, this ending song request by Craig, that shit's on my list. That's a banger. That shit's definitely going on the list. But enough about that. Chairman Go at the Hunter Association, we go over to him. He's still in his office talking with Wu Jinchul. He's talking about how he wasn't able to be there for the third Jeju Island raid. And this is the raid where everybody got basically they got overtaken. They couldn't defeat the gate, and so the place got overrun. He says that he wasn't able to partake in that third raid because he was no longer fit for combat. He asks Wu Jinchul if he was there. He says yes. He was there as perimeter security. And then Chairman Go says, so many lost their lives, and those who survive still bear the mental scars, the kind of scars that all hunters have, and they must overcome that pain, or destruction will be all that awaits. What did you think, Brennan, of all of these like back and forth of Chairman Go overlaid with Jinwoo in real time experiencing what he's talking about? Like, they did this three different times in this episode.
I mean, nothing really.
Do you think that they're just be artsy, or you think that it's any like?
I mean, to me,
anything more to it?
To me, it's just the B plot of the episode. Like, it's just setting up some other stuff because they've been dropping it in the background. This Jeju Island, and you know, it's actually how the anime started, so it's been prevalent the whole time. This Jeju Island, but we just don't know enough about it. Besides, people got fucked up there, and I know it's going to be a big role next season, but there's just so much to go before I'm fully invested in it, because, and I will be, but right now we don't know any of the other hunters well enough. Like, the best hunter we know is freaking, who's the little rich boy? Jin Ho. Like, we know him probably the best, or Sung. So, like, all these hunters that do go to Jeju Island, I have no connection to them, so I don't really care that they're mentally scarred right now, so next season, they're going to have to bring us in on a couple of them, build them up, make me care about them, and then I'll be more invested in the Jeju Island aspect of it. But right now, I'm not seeing any, like, I mean, I'm sure there is some correlation there, but right now, that's just, when I'm watching, I'm just seeing it as, like, yeah, they're setting the shit up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good interpretation. We go back over to Jinwoo. Talking, or he's still seeing his past self. The old Jinwoo can hardly recognize the new, stronger, present version of himself. He says, the differences, though, are only skin deep. On the inside, I'm still weak, and it looks like I'm about to die again. Sung Jinwoo, E-Rank Hunter. That's all you'll ever be, a dreamer who never learned his place in the world. Still not good enough. This is what you get for patting yourself on the back about how ready you are. You're going to get yourself killed. Just talking noise, man. Old Jinwoo, just not a fan of his new self.
Yeah, that's why it was a little confusing. So I'm like, curious,
this had to be the game, or is this his mental state? I'm wondering.
His mental state, like a dark version of him that's dwelling within, so like his evil side is like still weak like that, or is that like the real Jinwoo who's watching this dude who's taking over his body, and he's like pissed at him? You know, because I know one of your theories was kind of that Jinwoo was like in the sunken place, like just watching, spectating. And like, I guess I could maybe kind of see that from this, like he fucking hates this guy who's like controlling his body, you know, or it could just be like a little evil self who's taking on the form of him.
It could be that evil self of him that's taken over manifested as the old weak Jinwoo.
Yeah,
to try to get under his skin to further separate himself from his old weak self.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we didn't get full clearance on that, but as we know from the show, he's going to meet his ass again. So, sure, that'll be another a little plot line to follow. We'll learn more about this, the old Jinwoo.
Yeah. The old Jinwoo, Jinwoo gets a notification, daily quest penalty. It gives him a countdown that he's about to be transported. And old Jinwoo says, it seems they don't want you to die just yet. Until next time, then. But this line makes it sound like this Jinwoo that appeared to him, this old one, did want him to die. He was like rooting for him to die. So I don't know what this is, honestly. And I guess I don't care. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, Buddy's just
yapping. Maybe it just adds drama.
Buddy's just yapping at this point.
I know, it's like, dude, shut the hell up. Just shut the hell up. So Jinwoo, before he goes into this dungeon and he doesn't complete the daily quest, my originally thought, like we talked about before, was this was supposed to be foreboding, like, oh shit, this is going to come back to bite him. No, this shit saves his ass. And not only does it save his ass, it allows him to unlock all the unlockables of this dungeon. Which, going forward, if I'm Jinwoo, I am never completing my daily quest before going into a dungeon again. This is like a failsafe to teleport out, heal up, kill you some fucking centipedes, and then go back in, leveled up, with new armor, fully healed, full stamina.
Yeah,
shit's a hack, man. This shit is a straight up hack.
But you got to be time conscious too, though. You know, like, what if it comes at the wrong time? Because it's just like at the end of his 24 hours or whatever. So I mean, yeah, it's good to have, but you never know. You're not always going to be life or death.
You give yourself 2 hours, and before you go into that last door, you get it to 30 minutes, and then it's just about survival to making it to that 30 minute penalty or like 20 minutes or something.
I mean, yeah, but I don't think it's going to be like a strat for him. I think it's just like he said, they're just going to run it down to luck. Like, his luck skill came through this time, but I don't think it would be wild if they use that same thing as a plot device ever again. Unless, like you say, if it ever happens to him again, that'll be whack. Unless he like consciously is doing like what you're saying, like, all right, just in case, I'll make sure that 8 hours from now, if I'm about to fucking die, I'll get
teleported. He's 100%. He got way more out of taking the penalty now because he leveled up 4 times killing all of those snakes there. He only gets 3 points for completing the daily quest. He leveled up 4 times. When you level up, you get 5 points each. So it's like incentivized for him to take the penalty every single day now.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, because he can just go kill, but the punishment might be harder.
Why wasn't it this time then? It was the exact same place, the exact same monsters.
Who knows? He might.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I'm sure the system would catch on to that. Like, there ain't no way he's doing that. If he does after twice, it's going to be like, hell no.
Yeah. Well, he gets transferred to the penalty zone. A bunch of poison-toothed giant desert centipedes show up. Their names are in orange, which means they're the same level. And he has to survive for 4 hours, but he doesn't just survive. He thrives. We go over to Gina, his sister, back at the house. She can't sleep. She has a weird dream, she says. And she notices that Jinwoo still hasn't come home. And she lays back down. She's wondering if he's got a girlfriend. And she's like, nah, that couldn't be. More than anything, though, she's worried if he's going to miss her guardian teacher meeting that day. What's your guess? You think he makes it to this guardian teacher meeting, or you think he's missing this shit?
I mean, if there's another episode, I would say yeah, but it just seemed like a weird place to start the next season, but I don't know. I feel like he'd make it, but this could be the turn of him starting to, you know, be more distant from his sister, too. This could just be the first stone to fall before the avalanche.
There's something bubbling with the home life of Jinwoo, because they've shown Gina every single episode in some capacity. They don't want us to forget that Gina's at home and he takes care of her. They don't want us to forget that the mom is sleeping either, but time will tell. I have no guesses as to what it is, but I don't think it's good. I don't think that Gina's necessarily going to get like a happy ending. I don't know. We'll find out though. Back over to Jinwoo and the centipedes. He defeats them all, levels up 4 levels. He talks about how leveling up, it's great because he just heals instantly. He buys a new blade for 2,800,000 gold, but he had like 30,000 or 30 million gold. So this was like nothing to him.
It doesn't matter anyways. Like that money he gets from that shit is only, he can only use it.
It's only good.
Yeah, it ain't
exactly.
Like, it ain't real life.
Yep. So this blade called Night Killer, it deals 25% more damage to armor type beasts. So it's good because the old bare fists weren't really working. And he finally gets the rune out that he got from Egress the Blood Red Knight called Ruler's Hand. He busts that thing open. And it doesn't require mana to use, which is pretty cool. Which means he can just use this thing whenever he wants as long as his level's strong enough to pull whatever he needs to. But the user can physically manipulate objects without touching them.
Yeah, right
so
now.
So I was wrong in my guess. I thought it was going to be like sucking up powers, but
yeah,
right it's a now, ghost hand instead.
His level is just, yeah, some Jedi, some Force type shit to get your saber back.
It, yeah, kind of Forcey. It also, like when he was using it in the fight here in a little bit, it was kind of ghost handish too. Like he was using it to choke people out and like.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
I was thinking like pulling more, people toward him.
Just like whenever you someone thinks they have you dead to rights with the sword to your throat and you do the old trick, call the blade back to you and slash him. They're like, how?
Yeah, that too. I'm sure he's going to do that shit.
Oh, he's for sure doing that shit like episode one, season two.
It is a very good power. The fact that it doesn't use mana, I mean, that leaves the door open for like if he can level this thing up enough, he can just blow back enemies and just keep blowing them back.
Oh, he can push
to give
too?
Himself as much time. Yeah, he can just manipulate any object that's small enough for him to manipulate.
True. I was thinking just so like a pull thing, but yeah, if he can grab you, then I guess he could throw you or push you the other way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in this fight with the knights, he was grabbing some and tossing them. He cracked one's head open with a fist, like squeezed it. He grabbed a mage and then slammed him into the ceiling and then pulled him toward him so he could cut him in half. We go over to the Apache helicopter headed to Jeju Island. They say that they're arriving over the airspace of Jeju Island's security perimeter shortly. Really, the only two pieces of information we get here in the helicopter is they show us who's in this thing again. We don't know who any of these people are except for Guildmaster Choi, the red-haired guy, and Chaw, the S-rank hunter. But we do learn that Chaw, she was not a hunter during the third raid of Jeju Island. So this is her first time going out here. So she hasn't been a hunter very long. Which means she was a recently awakened person. And that's one of the things that Guildmaster or Chairman Go was talking about this episode. How new awakenings are happening every day, almost like he knows something. The pilot is detecting multiple sources of mana coming from the water. We see something floating in the water, and Guildmaster Choi is like, Konewa? Or what the? What the? But they don't really show us what it is yet, so we'll get to that later. Jinwoo, back to him fighting the waves. His new blade, the Night Killer, proving useful. He discovers that it's not the knights he needs to kill. He needs to kill the mages because they're basically opening up gates and summoning all of the knights. So he kills the first mage, and he confirms, yeah, when I kill these mages, a bunch of knights die with them. At one point, he uses the ruler's hand to smash the head of a knight. He even uses it to grab a mage by the neck, pull it towards him, and cut him in half. And then the last three mages are like, oh, shit. And so they form a little seance circle, and they make a giant golem out of the remaining knights. And he ends up killing them anyways. The giant golem goes to punch Jinwoo. He blocks the punch with his little knife somehow. The dude's strong. I mean, it's a video game. We just got to take it for what it's worth. He yells, the casters are all gone, so why don't you shut the hell down? He shatters into a 1,000 pieces, leaving broken armor all over the place. And he gets a notification. It says, I have defeated all the monsters. Finish the job change quest. And then a checkbox. So, it says that he has to be assigned a class. He is to be assigned a class based on his performance during the quest. This is when the episode for me started getting real exciting. I'm like, oh shit, here we go. What's the job? What the hell is the job? Notification. Analysis complete. Wherever the player goes, the Angel of Death follows. Whatever path the player takes, it is littered with corpses and the stench of blood remains. In addition, the player craves great power and blazed his own trail without relying on others. Its thirst for strength calls for the ghosts that roam the Valley of Death. The ghosts summoned by the Shadow Army will follow the player's orders as the Shadow Army make way only for the player. Your job is necromancer. Holy cow. I kind of feel like this, I was right, and like the big surprise of the show was going to be something like that hasn't happened yet. This was a pretty freaking big surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about it, but yeah, it really is like kind of like one of those. And I've been looking. I mean, this is like his most iconic line too. Well, I don't know if it's his most, but it's one of them. Like him saying "arise," and I mean, it was kind of badass. So I mean,
it
yeah,
was fucking
this
arise.
Is
yeah,
definitely a big moment in the show, without a doubt, and the biggest moment, I would say.
Yes, I mean, I would have never guessed that the job or class, because necromancers are like, you literally only think of necromancers with like games like Diablo, and they are, they're just the people in the background that like, oh yeah, summon a grave, yeah, 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 send the skeletons forth,
fight against them. Usually, yeah, it's not like a, I mean, I guess I was on my predictions on the class, the job class thing, I was right, it was like an actual job class. But he's not reclassifying his skill points is what it looks like. He's just literally getting a new skill. But, yeah, usually, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you can be a necromancer in a game, but yeah, I feel like they're more so enemies, like doing what they just did, what he went through, where they're like bringing people and then you got to fucking go kill them. So yeah, yep. It is not one you'd expect for a main character by any means.
Yeah. I was like, at first I was like, holy shit. Like I was shocked, especially when they were reading the notification, you know, the littered with corpses and stench of blood. In addition, the player craves great power. I was starting to get a very like ominous, like, oh no, this is where he turns bad. This is not good. This is not good.
I mean,
and even he was
path.
Worried.
I mean, he said no. Yeah. And I was like, good. I was like, a fucking necromancer. That shit ain't tight.
I know.
Then they sweeten the pot for him, I guess.
Yep. So he says no at first, and pretty quickly he's like, I don't know enough. No. So he declines it, and then right when it declines, it says that the necromancer class is a hidden class. Do you still want to decline? So now he's like, oh shit, it's hidden? Okay, let me think about this. So he's walking around. Ultimately, he concludes that if he does become a necromancer, he can use the shadow army as numbers while he can still fight on the front lines. So he's like, just because I'm a necromancer doesn't mean I have to hide in the back. I can use them as like decoys to help me deal with larger groups like this one I fought today. He also concludes that if he were to get stronger, it makes sense to believe that the level of his shadow armies also would continue to grow with him. And then he says, in other words, I won't be solo leveling anymore, which I thought, like, this episode was a great place to end the season, because this is true. He's technically got allies now. And I wonder if other people can see these things. That's something I haven't thought of till just now. Like, if he goes into a dungeon with Jin-Ho and lets out Egress the Blood Red, you think that Jin-Ho's seeing that thing?
Yeah, he'll probably be the first one to see it. And he's going to be scared, and then he's going to be like, boss really is amazing.
Yeah.
I really have something special here. Dad's going to be happy.
Yeah. If only my brother knew the power I had at my disposal. Yeah, freaking sick. He's a necromancer. We go over to Chairman Go again with Wu Jin-Chul. So now it's dawn. They stayed up at the office all night. Chairman Go apologizes for keeping him there all night. And they say that Guildmaster Choi should be arriving at Jeju Island right about now. And then the camera zooms out. And Chairman Go says, since you're already here, would you mind humoring me for a bit? And then we cut away. I'm just telling you, man. My theory about this Chairman Go guy, I mean, it's still a 50-50 shot, but this guy knows some, whether he's bad or not, he knows some shit that nobody else does. He knows some shit.
Yeah.
There's just no denying it. He knows some stuff. We go back to Wu, or not Wu Jin-Chul, to Jin-Wu, and so now he's a necromancer. He gets a notification, your job has been finalized, and then depending on the advancement point acquired, you may progress to a higher class. It calculates everything. Notification, you've exceeded the expected survival time. Bonus points will be awarded. Notification, you have not used the instant teleportation stone. Bonus points will be awarded. Notification, leftover HP is over 50%. Bonus points will be awarded. Notification, you have defeated all enemies. Bonus points will be awarded. Notification, your total advancement points have exceeded the class threshold. Your job has changed. So this dude, literally right when he becomes a necromancer, he already exceeds what that job class has based on the points that he just accumulated in this dungeon, and he gets upgraded to a Shadow Monarch.
Yeah, that's a way better name.
Way better than way necromancer. Cooler. Like, yes.
Anything with Monarch in it, you're good.
Shadow it would have been cooler if it was Shadow King. Shadow King would have been cool, but Shadow Monarch ain't so bad. It just sounds more like a butterfly to me.
Honestly, like Monarch, I think is a little bit cooler, a little bit different.
Shit, you're telling me you wouldn't rather be the Shadow Prince or Shadow King?
I'd rather be the Shadow Monarch. Shadow King just sounds like a Duel Monsters card that Yu-Gi-Oh pulls out of his ass.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like it. Maybe it is. He gets some unique class skills and 10 ability points along with a new job, Shadow Monarch. And then he starts hearing some moaning and some suffering noises coming from all the dead knights. And then above all of their heads, it says, Shadow Extraction is possible. He gets a notification. Please designate a command word for the skill, Shadow Extraction. And this is where we get the name of the episode, which is funny because last week we were like, in what context would you use the word arise? And pretty much this is the only context we could think of last week even was you telling someone to get up, arise, come forth, come hither.
Yeah, I think I thought it was going to be like, I thought it was going to be like him, like someone telling Jinwoo to rise up because he was beat some challenge or, you know what I mean, was reborn again, but it's pretty cool.
Super cool. He says a command word, and then this part was awesome. He like turns to the camera, his eyes are glowing blue, and he says, arise. These shadows start rising up out of the armor. At first, I thought that just the armor itself was going to stand up, but it's even cooler what they did. They're literally shadows with some glowing blue. They look like Tron, some Tron bikers about to hit a few laps on the grid. But the other unique skill, so he's got Shadow Extraction, which he just used. That's what he used to make them arise. And then the other is Shadow Storage. So let me explain what we learn about both these unique skills. Shadow Extraction, it's level 1. It requires 0 mana as well. So he can have 0 mana, and he can still use this skill, as long as it is strong enough to extract the shadows of the enemies. He can only hold 30 or extract 30 shadows at a time right now, because his little gauge said 30 out of 30. And this is what it says. Extracts mana from a body whose life has come to an end and transforms it into a shadow soldier. Now we go over to Shadow Storage. It's level 1. It also requires no mana to use, and he can only store 20 shadows. So if he's taken Egress, that means he's taken 19 either soldiers or mages with him as well. So it's not like he can just store an infinite amount of army. He's got a little platoon with him. But Egress is all you need at the end of the day. He walks over to the Blood Red Knight Egress, and it says Shadow Extraction is possible, which kind of shocked me. I didn't think he was going to be strong enough. I thought he was going to have to, like, pull some kind of trick to like buy a potion to level up to be able to get him, but it's better that they made it possible. He releases 10 shadow soldiers to make room for this extraction and for his storage. Jinwoo says arise, and it was almost like Egress was resisting because it like sent a giant poof of air, like, no, like, leave me alone. And then it says, 2 attempts left.
It's basically like when you're trying to catch a Pokemon and the motherfucker keeps busting out of the ball.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's like. And it's like, bitch, if I hit you again, you're going to die. Get in the fucking ball. Get in the fucking ball. Jinwoo has 2 more tries. He says, he takes a deep breath before the second one, and then he says, arise, but he yells it this time. Not yells it, just, you know, an exclamation point. It also fails. And then as he's standing there, we cut over to something Chairman Go is saying. And Chairman Go is still with Wu Jinchul. He says, "It goes without saying, but unless we hunters undergo a reawakening, our powers will neither grow stronger or weaker, which is why we train our combat techniques and gather allies." Jinwoo says, "Are you waiting for your king's return when you have no idea when that might be? Knight Commander Egress, you're a warrior. Cutting down foes with that sword should be your purpose in life. Do you really intend to let it rust in this dank and decrepit place? If you need someone to whom you can dedicate your sword, serve me." Holds out his hand. "Instead of defending the throne of one long gone, defend the man who stands before you. Arise." And then freaking power starts flurrying all over the damn place. They show us the bottom half of Jinwoo's face. He smirks. I'm telling you, you're right, Brennan. The evil side of Jinwoo, this power is getting to him for sure. Tons of power is emanating from Egress. We cut back over to Chairman Go, just the audio. He says, "Which is why there's something I like to envision occasionally." And then we go back. This is why I think Chairman goes up to something. The way they layered him in to all these happenings. The shadow extraction works of Egress. He's level 7. He even gets to choose a name for his soldier. So it's very much like Pokemon. You catch the Pokemon, even though it's a Pikachu, you can name him whatever you want. But do people name nicknames for their Pokemon? I don't know. It's kind of weird to do that.
Sometimes. I wouldn't. I mean, I don't really do it anymore. If I play like a new one, I don't, because I don't really fucking know what the Pokemon are.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta be. It just would be weird to like catch you a Charmander and you name him Slick, and then he evolves and he's still Slick, and then he's a Charizard and he's like Slick.
If I'm giving nicknames to any of them, it's definitely like an OG, like 1 through 3rd gen. But yeah, if it's like them new ones that aren't even animals or like fucking lollipops and shit, like I won't.
Yes.
It's like I don't know the real name, so I can't give it a nickname.
I need to know what this thing's name is. He names him just Egress. I would have named him Egress the Blood Red, personally. It's cooler. But Chairman Go, he continues. He says, "Which is why there's something I like to envision occasionally about how there are new awakenings every day. Someone who defies all our expectations, strong enough to become a new guiding light, could be born this very moment." Egress, the Shadow Soldier, he walks around Jinwoo, stands in front of the army of Shadow Soldiers, and in front of Jinwoo. He kneels. Jinwoo's eyes change to a glow, and he smiles a sinister smile, like very sinister. And then he says, "You're with me now." And I had to watch that scene, "You're with me now," 3 times because I couldn't tell who was saying it. And then I finally noticed, oh, the lips are flapping for Jinwoo. It's Jinwoo. Because I was like, is this freaking Egress? Did Egress just say, "You're with me now," like implying like I'm rolling with you or like you're rolling with me? But no, it was Jinwoo. Episode ends, ending song plays. Ending song slaps as hell. And Brennan, did you watch the after the credits scene?
I didn't, I don't think.
Oh, I fucking knew you wouldn't catch it, you son of a bitch. You freaking, that means you ain't watching these ending songs, you little bastard.
I don't shut it off. I just like, I get up and start doing stuff so it's like it plays, but yeah, I wasn't watching it.
Shit, well you missed some shit. Well, there's about it's only like a minute 15 little scene, but it's Guildmaster Choi. It's Chaw saying, "Guildmaster Choi, what is this?" So they're examining the thing that they saw floating in the water that was putting off some mana. Guildmaster Choi says, "I don't know. To my knowledge, this has never happened before." They show what they're examining. At first, it looks like Egress, the Blood Red Knight, was laying on a table. Like, this was some smooth red armor. But once they zoom out a little bit, it's a red ant from episode 1. And then he continues, "But now, ... they're evolving." And at first I'm like, what are they showing? It's an ant. But you can see and all the, I bet you half the viewers listening right now also didn't catch what they were showing us. And I don't blame you. I had to go back and watch this several times. Just kept rewinding, looking for something. These ants now have wings. So these ants that are trapped on Jeju Island have evolved and they're about to fly to the mainland. That's what the problem is here. So we have that to look forward to, season two. He's going to come back and be like, Chairman, go. The fucking ants, they grew wings. They can fly. And they're going to be like, oh shit, we got to send people over there to kill them now. And then Jinwoo is going to volunteer and he's going to be like, I'll do it. Send me.
Yeah, they'll probably,
but honestly,
at that point, they'll take any able-bodied man with any spiritual pressure at all.
Yep. I wonder how strong the Blood Red Knight Egress actually is.
I mean, he was technically stronger than Jinwoo, so he's at least A rank.
Do you think he's S rank, or you think A for sure?
He's probably A at the very least, like high B, because Jinwoo thought he was somewhere between A and B, and he technically at level 40 when he fought him, won by dumb luck, like strength-wise, stat-wise, he was weaker. So I'm assuming he's probably A, like lower A.
I think that's a good guess. I'd like to think, Egress the Blood Red was. I mean, he's got Egress now. He's level 47. He can continue to, every time he kills an enemy, if he's strong enough with his necromancing Shadow Monarch job, he can turn whoever's body died into a Shadow Soldier. And their strength matches what it was during life. So I wonder if this applies to people like Jin Ho.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Or the dude,
Dong Suk.
Yeah, that's who I think he's going to maybe be the first person you test that shit out on.
He kills Dong Su, and then he's like, arise. Dude, I'm telling you, this show has not disappointed. I'm pumped for where this can go.
I'd go get me like 4 or 5 goblins too. So you can need a couple wild cards on the squad.
You need some people just throwing out some shanks in the back, sneaking up on people. Yeah. It's at the point already where he has so many things. Like, he doesn't just rely on his strength. Like, he's got all of these like potions and he can buy weapons and now he can use Ruler's Hand, so he doesn't need to even be close to you to grab you. He can teleport out of places with his penalty. You know, he has 2 teleportation stones. Like, he's gaining so much. I'm wondering at what point he's going to have to like burn through all his resources and almost like start fresh. And I'm also wondering who wants him to live. Cause even Jinwoo's old self was like, it looks like they want to keep you alive for now until next time.
Yeah. I mean, the classic thing is just like, he's becoming a vessel for somebody, or I mean, it'd be weird that they're just like watching shit go down. Like, they're just like making shit happen. So I don't think it's that. I don't know if his purpose is to become a vessel, or they want him to kill something, or they just want him to be evil and wreak havoc.
Yeah.
Just creating a monster, basically.
The only thing that makes sense is if there was a villain that knew more than we know as viewers, the only person that it could be that they've shown is Chairman Go. Because they wouldn't just keep somebody in the background of that magnitude. I guess they could.
Yeah, I mean, more or less, only 12 episodes. You don't necessarily have to bring out the biggest, baddest of them all in the first 12 episodes. You know, like, not to say he doesn't have something to do with the overarching evil scheme, but, and he may well be, like, the biggest bad, the controller of it, but I don't think you have to look at it in the sense, like, of all the people we've met, who's controlling it? Because they could introduce somebody, you know, later on.
I'm kind of disappointed that they didn't give us more information about what is going on. You know, like, who is this a game? Is this reality? Who's pulling the strings? Who wants him alive? Obviously, the Carton Temple, whatever happened in there, one of those god statues, maybe they were puppets. Maybe the god statues were the avatars for the people that created the RPG that everybody's playing in. I don't know. Maybe this whole freaking world is just a giant RPG and everybody doesn't even realize that they're being controlled by other people. I don't know. I'm just curious to find out what's going on in this stinking world.
I don't think it's that. I feel like Jinwoo's like, I mean, I guess that could be, but I feel like he'd be a little disappointed. He's like, oh, these people aren't fucking real.
Yeah, maybe they're all just, what do you call, non-player NPCs except for Jinwoo. But I know Season 2 is confirmed. I don't believe that they've come out with a release date, but we'll for sure be watching Season 2. We'll for sure be doing coverage on Season 2. As far as what we're recording about next week, I'm not sure, but we'll have an episode for you. Closing thoughts on the season for Solo Leveling. This show's a 10, man. Sign me up. It's definitely in the top 10 anime I've ever watched. Like, I'm excited to watch this show every time I'm watching it. And it feels very different because it's a mature, dark shonen. It's almost like it's everything the Rising of the Shield Hero wishes it could be.
I mean, I don't know about that. Rising of the Shield Hero is completely, it's doing its own thing now. Like, there's some similarities early on, but they're barely in the same genre at this point.
True. But you got any other closing thoughts or anything you want to mention about Solo Leveling before we wrap up this era of the podcast of Solo Leveling Season 1?
Thanks for listening, anybody who, you know, even if you just listen to this one, but all the real ones, you listen to all 12 eps, it's a good ride.
It was a good ride. And it's honestly, it sounds like your voice got better as we've been talking. You working it out, stretching those vocal cords.
Yeah, it just depends. If I've been talking, it's really just when I first start talking, I like break through the soreness. And once the old air pipes get open, it's pretty easy.
You're going to wake up tomorrow again and not be able to say shit.
Yeah, the mornings are the roughest part when the cough comes in too.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's all. We won't keep everybody else for anything longer. I'm Jordo.
Vernon.
We are the Evans Bros, also known as the Casual Anime Fanatics. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week. And as always, peace out.